Well, Ron, you want to pray for me? Amen. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and I'm going to share some from the scripture about Pentecost, but we're not going to try to finish it all today. We're going to spend some weeks about Pentecost. Also, there's a word for you in the fight. Yeah, for you. Yeah. I just really saw a mother's anointing that God's really called you as a caregiver. He's going to give you a lot of spiritual children. And you're going to spend your life raising it. There's a real heart to nurture in you. And so there's a real mama's anointing on you. And it's just going to increase. And God's going to give you the desires of your heart in that arena. Okay. Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. There are three Jewish holidays where people kind of were expected to come visit Jerusalem. And there was the Feast of Tabernacles, there was the Passover, and then 50 days later after the Passover was Pentecost. And it was the harvest. It was called the Feast of Weeks. It was called the Feast of the Harvest. Because some weeks earlier, they celebrated the first fruits of the barley harvest around Passover time. But this was the first fruits of the wheat harvest. It's an interesting thing that Pentecost, for a Christian, this is when God's going to pour out His Spirit so we can be witnesses. And isn't it interesting that God, even though they didn't know it was going to be Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out, they were just told to wait until. God had made promises, the words used over and over again, the promise of the Father, the promise of the Father, the promise of the Father. And then the other word attached to that, that you'll receive. Not achieve the promise of the Father. A promise is a promise. But receiving does involve something on our part. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. Oh, yeah, by the way, let me just say this. The weeks to come are going to be interesting. Next week, we have Mike Hutchins will be here on Sunday morning preaching. But he's also doing a conference, and we're leading the conference together. It's called School of Prophecy Advanced, because we'll talk a lot about visions and dreams and numbers and signs and symbols. I really encourage you to come. And Thursday morning and Friday morning from like 9:30 to 11:30, I'll be doing those parts. And all of you know that when I first, 12 years ago, first started moving at an accelerated pace and level, and the prophetic, it all came to me in vision form. So that's something I can talk about out of experience. And then in the afternoons, he'll do some stuff. I'll do a little bit of workshop. And then he'll, in the evenings, at 7 o'clock, Thursday night, Friday night. I just encourage you to come because the Scripture says that we desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, especially that we may prophesy. That's a word for all of us. So you come so you can learn. It's not something, well, that's not really my thing. Well, it has to be your thing. Desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you, that's the word, that's plural, you may prophesy. It's a word for you. It's a time for you. And so come so that you can be released in that. Doesn't mean it'll be your primary ministry. But it will mean that you'll know how better to steward if God wants to use you in a moment. Most of the time in a public setting, prophetic giftings are situational and transrational. Therefore, that moment, all of us can move in any of the gifts of the Spirit. Again, it may not be your primary ministry, but you want God to be able to use you. You want to be able to recognize what's happening so that you can steward that and God can use you for the edification of others. It's not about you. If you have a heart for others, it's for others. So I just encourage you to please come. We'll have worship each night. It'll be a lot of fun. All righty? Now, back to the message. That was a short commercial break. One of those bulletins. And back to the bulletin. Hutchins will be here next Sunday. And then the day he leaves, on Monday, Hannington Bahamuka from Bunabuja will be here all week. He'll be ministering with us every day at Eucharist. We're going to let him go for it on Wednesday night, and he'll go for it on Sunday morning. So we'll have to jump back into this in a couple of weeks. But Hannington's the one that we were at. We had over 1,000 people healed in his area, probably about 1,200 people in 2 days. And they were just ready for a move of God. And I can't wait to hear stuff that's happened that I haven't heard about since he got back. So we got a lot, and then there's more after that, but we'll go back. We'll do that commercial later, or I'll never get back to the sermon. And so it's interesting that God would pour out his Spirit so that the people of God would be empowered to be witnesses of the risen Christ, so that the harvest can happen on the day where the feast of the harvest, where they're celebrating the harvest, occurs. And I'll just read this to you, and then we'll go to the place I want us to spend the day. Because it's really important to me that we don't just get filled with the Spirit. We've talked about this on numerous occasions. But that we know how to stay filled with the Spirit. Part of the charismatic renewals, in some corners, at some level, what's held some people back from stepping into the reality of Spirit-filled living is they watch poor examples of, quote, charismatics who have a story to tell about getting filled with the Spirit but don't seem to exhibit the power of the Holy Spirit in their daily lives, where they work and where they live. And we're looking for him to find an abiding place, to be his abode, not just a place where he visits, where he lights occasionally, but where he settles down, finds a resting place. That's what we're going for. Amen? Because in that environment, revival really does occur. This is what I read to you a little bit earlier. And this just blew me away. I've read this verse hundreds of times over the years. I read it as the gospel lesson, but I saw it in a different light. Because it says at Pentecost, as they were praying, had been praying for 10 days, there were the promises to receive, and they were just positioning themselves, posturing themselves in that place of waiting before the Lord. Remember we said, worship always comes before witness. We always accelerate the more we marinate in his presence. That we, in that posture of prayer, we position ourselves for the suddenlies. As we linger in his presence, we take those leaps in him that come suddenly. We're just going after his presence. We're just seeking his face. And in the process of waiting before him, just an adoration, beholding his beauty, like David talks about in Psalm 27, this one thing I've asked, this one thing I shall seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty and have conversation with him about it. That should be the one thing desired in all of our lives, the one thing pursued. But in that presence, knowing that there are promises he's given, oh, there's a promise of the outpouring of the Spirit. He promised this or he promised that. As we're beholding his beauty, lingering before him, waiting on him, then there are these suddenlies that just break through, where God just takes us to this new place, promise fulfilled. He's positioned us. He's done this shifting in us so that we're now able to receive. Not achieve, but able to receive. He does work in us and makes us more childlike so that we can take that and steward it well for his glory and for his kingdom. Now, for our love and that Pentecost lesson, let me read that to you so it'll look like I read it anyway. Seems like I did. Remember again, as we study the manual, the book of Acts, the whole point of the book of Acts, Luke said that what Jesus did in the Gospel of Luke, all the things Jesus began to do and teach, the story of Christianity, the book of Acts, today and every generation, are all those things that Jesus continues to do and teach. If that's what he began to do and teach, now we live in the realm of Jesus continuing and doing and teaching through you and me, his church. That the life of Jesus, the message of Jesus, and the ministry of Jesus is continued on the earth. That's both our privilege and our joy and responsibility. But what a privilege that we were created to carry his life into the world, into the world of your home, into the world of your workplace. Let's get there first, right? Then out the doors, you know? But again, let me just read this as a context. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and goes on and on. suddenly broke in. They were before him, believing promise, looking for the promise, expectation, and then suddenly they're there. This is from John chapter 3. I read it to you just a minute ago. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but no one knows where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Now hear this. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. It doesn't say so is what happens to everyone who gets born again. I mean, I think there's more to getting born again than just the Holy Spirit kind of moving around going, okay, I pick you. I mean, at some point, he responds to hearts too, right? And the whole thing about election, human choice, you know, Ironside said, on this side of being saved, you look at the door, it says, whosoever will. When you walk through the door and you look back on the backside, now that you're in, it says, chosen before the foundation of the world. I don't know how that all works, but it's both true. God's new math. Don't try to figure him out. Just celebrate him. Amen? But I think what he's saying here, this is what the Christian life becomes like when you're born again. Because the whole intention of being born again is that you would be filled with the life of Jesus with all power. The word power, again, means ability. God promised us not just a place in heaven one day, forgiven of our sins, but he promised to invade us with the very life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, right? And his ability to live the Christian life the same way he lived. Now, this is what blew me away when I was reading this again. Ministered to me so much. The wind, which is the type of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, a violent wind. Now, there it says, that came from heaven. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound. When the Holy Spirit moves in a person's life, you take it by faith, but the result is that you just got it by faith. You can hear it. It's a violent, rushing wind. It does violent things in us. It creates violent changes. And I mean that in a good way. The kingdom of God suffers violent, and violent people take it by force. It causes you to become a violent person. And you need to hear that. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent people take it by force. There have been too many times in my life, instead of aggressively taking the kingdom by force, aggressively obeying, looking for opportunities to be obedient, God has had to force the kingdom on me. Has that ever happened to you? Through resistance and compromise and delay, finally he just forced the kingdom on me because he loves me. But he wants me to get to a place where I'm taking the kingdom by force. You see? And so there's this violent rushing wind. When the Holy Spirit fills you, he just imparts a violence in you, a desire to please God, a passionate and holy aggression to want to please God, to want to be obedient, to want to love him. You can't separate those two things. The aggressive desire to please him, the aggressive and violent desire to obey him is how we love him. We don't just love him by adoring him. He said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. And here's the deal, though, about staying a good steward of the Holy Spirit and his power on a continual basis. The wind blows where it wills. The wind won't blow where you will. That's kind of the thing I want to say to you today. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and then still live your own life? Do your own thing, have your own way, make your own choices? Rationalize stuff and just say, well, yeah, I'm under grace. You're not carrying it. You won't carry the Holy Spirit very much. It'll be so weak, such a mild wind, that nobody will even notice it. It's not about getting filled. It's about staying filled and allowing that violent, rushing wind to be a part of your life, changing and affecting you on the inside and changing those around you. Because everybody in that room heard it. It wasn't just a personal, psychological experience. They all heard it. Later, when they were filled with the Spirit, Acts chapter 4, the whole room shook. Your whole room, your whole world will shake It's not just about, oh boy, I want to get filled with the Spirit and still live the life I was living before. I was saying this to some people recently. I said, I've known of people who cry out for revival in their churches. Oh God, give me revival. Give me revival. Give me revival. Give us revival. And then when I probe, I find out what they're actually saying. Lord, come in revival as long as nothing looks different than it already looks. What I want you to do is change the way these people feel. I want them to be excited about this church and invite other people to the church. But the church is right where I want it, Lord. So don't mess with that, because I feel comfortable and safe here. It doesn't work that way corporately. It doesn't work that way personally. To want to be filled with the Holy Spirit means you're giving Him permission. Ron used the word, violent rushing winds in a small space wreck everything. You're giving Him permission to wreck your life so that the wind can blow where it wills, not where you will. The wind blows where it wishes, and we hear the sound of it, but don't know where it comes from. I mean, He is sovereign, right? And where it is going, so that everyone is born of the Spirit. We don't know where He's going. It's none of your business. He doesn't have to get your permission. He doesn't need mine. Do you understand in this word? I've read this hundreds and hundreds of times. And I always thought about, oh, the Holy Spirit's the sovereign. You'll kind of go do this. The wind blows where it wills and goes where He wishes. And let me just say this to you. If that's not what you want, then don't get filled with the Spirit, because you will be a miserable human being. Because He comes in as a violent rushing wind, not as a sweet little sea breeze. He didn't come to bring peace, He said. He came to bring a sword. Let me see, I put my watch over here. Alrighty. I can do this in a few minutes. Let me show you. Go back to John 14. Because I want us to be really better prepared to understand what the Holy Spirit's doing. This whole thing about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 20. This whole chapter is about the Holy Spirit. This whole upper room discourse is. But listen to verse 20. In that day. And He's talking about Pentecost, the day that we're celebrating today. In that day, you shall experience. The word know there is the word to experience. It'll become your experience. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I in you. Remember John chapter 16, and He says the Holy Spirit's job is to emphasize Jesus. That's the word He uses, to emphasize Jesus, to emphasize Jesus. To take everything that Jesus has and make it real to us so that our daily lives are affected and invaded by everything that Jesus is. As the Father sent me, so send I you, Jesus said. First and foremost, foundationally, not power. Power is what He promised. But what He did first and foremost, foundationally, is when the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, you'll begin to experience what I've experienced being in the Father. And the Father being in me. You'll begin to experience you being in me and me being in you. And you know what comes with that? All the ability that Jesus has to live the Christian life. That's the power. But the invasion of the Holy Spirit is so that you'll know experientially what it means to be in Christ, and Christ in you. The harvest, first and foremost, is about God completing the harvest of your soul. So you become the borrowed vessel of a risen Christ in a fallen world through which He can live. You become vital branches to a vibrant vine that can flow through you so you can bear the fruit of His life in this earth. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. Because if you're a Christian, you're in Christ and Christ is in you. But you may not be experiencing it. Holy Spirit emphasizes Jesus. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit, whoa, suddenly this Christ who you know lives in you, you have these little senses of His presence, comes crazy alive in you. and you realize, I'm in Christ, He's in me. We have this amazing oneness, union thing. Everything I'm involved in, He's involved in. And as long as I let the wind blow where it wills and go where it wants to go, we'll maintain this thing. It'll grow more and more and more. John chapter 14. I'm just going to read this and make a few comments. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. How did that work? By the Holy Spirit in Jesus? He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. Greater works than these shall he do because I go to the Father. What happened when Jesus went to the Father? Glass. He poured out the Holy Spirit. That's the greater works happen because Jesus poured out His Spirit on that day when He went to be with the Father as ascension. So that we not only do His works, He said, but even greater works. That's normal, brown bag, every day, run-of-the-mill Christianity. In your home, where you work, out in, quote, your ministry. And whatever you ask in my name, and this is crazy, isn't it? Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Wow. You mean that's what Spirit-filled living is? Me and you, you and me. Greater works, whatever I ask, you'll do. It says whatever you ask, you do, right? So I'm just assuming the more I grow in and letting that wind blow where it wills and go where it wants to go, this is going to become more and more real in my experience. Because He's not going to bless where I will and where I want to go. He's only going to bless where He wills and where He wants to go. Then He reinforces that what I'm going to say to you. He says again twice, ask anything, I'll do it. Then he goes, right in the middle of this, he says, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Huh? What's that got to do with anything? Because he just like jumps in here and says, oh yeah, your part is, my part is I'll do greater works through you. My part, anything you ask, I'll do through you. Oh, your part, just love me. And that doesn't mean just sit around going, kumbaya, my Lord. We're granted that's charismatic. It means what? Keep my commandments. Just do what the wind's doing. Go where the wind's going. That's how you love me. And he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He'll be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you. And on Pentecost, he'll be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How? In the person of the Holy Spirit. After a little while, the world will not behold me anymore, but you will behold me. You will behold me because I live. You'll live also in that day. You'll know that I'm in the Father. You're in me and I'm in you. And then he goes, oh yeah, by the way, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and I will disclose myself to him. Why? I said, oh, remember your part is to love me. And you love me by obeying me. Then he goes and he says, this is what we've been cried out for. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abiding place in him. Jesus offers his life by the Holy Spirit to be released in us. So that I can experience what it is to be in Christ, Christ to be in me. That's an amazing reality. An amazing consciousness to know that in every situation, I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. That's just stunning. He said, because of that, you'll do even greater works. Anything you ask my name, I'll do. All I'm asking for you to do is love me. And you do that by obeying. Not out of duty, out of affection. Because the wind will blow where it wills and go where it wishes. And we've said this before, and I won't read it, but remember at the end, then Jesus gives him his example. He was in the Father was in him, and as the Son of Man, how this worked, he says, I'm about to go face some really hard things. That's translation, Chucky translation. Things are about to get rough. Don't freak out about it. I've told you about it's going to get rough so you won't weird out. He said, but here's the deal. Satan has no part in this story. It's going to seem like it, but he doesn't. You see, Father gave me a commandment to come do what I'm going to do. And I want to show the whole world how much I love him. So therefore, I'm going to do it. What was he doing? He's just been telling us, you're going to be in me and I'm going to be in you. Ask anything you want, greater works. It's going to be a supernatural life. It's going to be amazing. Just like I've been the Father, Father's been in me. And, you know, and all you got to do is love us. Just love me. Keep my commandments. And he said, let me give you an example where you got to go with this. You got to be willing to die to yourself, to your own will, to your own way. Because you got to do like I did and want so bad. You love him so much, like love me so much like I love the Father, that you'll do anything to show the whole world even to show how much you love me. So if that's your heart, we'll abide there. Amen. We'll dwell there. We'll hang out there. You just won't have cute little stories about things that will happen here and there. You'll have an everyday supernatural story that just has another page every day you get to talk about. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.